Each year, the Office of Congresswoman Veronica Escobar hosts a congressional art competition, which calls on high school students in our community to submit their artwork to be displayed in the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. This year's winner was Brisa Cervantes for her piece called Immigration. We plan to talk about that, and we also want to talk to the congresswoman about her support for the Latino Smithsonian and efforts to make sure that El Paso is represented into their exhibits. Today, my guest is Congresswoman Veronica Escobar. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hello, Marina. It's so wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I had so much fun. So full disclosure, I got to be one of the panelists that got to participate in this year's Congressional Art Competition. And it was so beautiful to see all the talent. I mean, it's hard to pick a winner.
You know, I will tell you, there is absolutely no way that I would be able to pick a winner. And that's why we depend on volunteers from the community like you and so many of our other judges, because the talent in our community is so incredible. And these high school students pour their heart out into their art, and it's really hard to judge. So thank you, Marina, to you and all of our judges for doing the hard work on our behalf. The fact that it's so hard to judge the competition is a testament to how much talent we have. And hopefully every single year we'll have even more entries and more kids as the word spreads throughout our high schools, more and more artists will participate and make the judges' job even harder.
Well, you know, it's a welcome task for sure. We had all sorts of challenges this year. I mean, pivot has been the word of the era, I think. And so this year's competition was all done virtually. And our winner, Brisa, she did the most beautiful piece. And I know that they also get to go to the Capitol. Is that piece of it going to happen? I know COVID is a little weird.
I know, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm also, you know, when I spoke to Brisa recently, I tried to manage expectations because all of us would have thought that at this point we would have crushed the virus. You know, we have vaccines that are widely available, that are free, that are in abundance, but we have, unfortunately, just a lot of vaccine reluctance. And as a result, the Delta variant has spread. And we are going backwards. I mean, you know, just this past week, the city reissued its indoor mask mandate. There are other communities and other states that are mandating masks once again to try to control the spread in order to give our hospitals some breathing room so that they can take care of the community. And so I don't know what to expect. I mean, you're right. Under normal circumstances, there's this wonderful event. We fly up the winner to Washington, D.C. They get to participate in a ceremony at the Capitol. We get to hang their beautiful artwork in the tunnel. And it's an incredible experience for the young people who win. But, you know, fingers crossed. But if I had to guess, my guess is that the Capitol probably will continue to be closed to visitors for some time. And that, you know, we won't be able to have our event as scheduled. But I told Brisa, and I know this is no consolation to her, we'll take a photo so that she can see it hanging in the Capitol. And after the year is over, she gets her beautiful piece of art back. At the very least, she gets to know that thousands of people have seen her art, including people at the highest levels of American government. So it's an incredible source of pride, I hope, for her.
I think so. I mean, either way, it's totally a big deal, and it's such a unique year. And her piece really speaks to the time. It's this beautiful embroidery piece that was, I don't know, what do you think, like 5 inches, six inches round?
Yeah, about 6 inches, I think. Beautiful stitch work. And you're right, Marina. It's, oh my God, so evocative and so powerful and symbolic of the moment that we're living in American history. I mean, here in El Paso, as we're seeing vulnerable people, especially children, knocking on our door, asking for help, seeking refuge, she took all of that and put it into this beautiful embroidery. And it's a boy, it's a child, and he is essentially cradling himself. He's sitting up, but he is in a fetal position. Behind him, you can see the wall, the border wall. He's clearly comforting himself. Although the wall is there, he's surrounded by beauty. And so she has stitched in our poppies above him. And below him are wonderful prickly pears and our Chihuahuan desert flora. And just so beautifully symbolic of the way that we wrap our arms around these vulnerable young people who come to us for help. Oh, it was just such a beautiful, powerful piece.
It really is. So I have to ask you, what is it about you and art? What makes you be an advocate?
Gosh, you know, we are so incredibly fortunate to be surrounded by people of brilliance who produce music and produce visual arts for us. And I'm a person who I've got to be listening to music as much as possible during the day. It truly does either soothe me or inspire me or excite me or get me going or, you know, helps me address the mood that I'm in. And I feel the same way about art. It touches something deep within our humanity, and it makes us transcend all of the barriers that exist between people. And my hope is that with something like Brisa's art, like that beautiful piece of art that represents a young child, clearly lonely, clearly frightened, clearly by himself, that something like that will touch even the most hardened person, because it's got to touch something in your humanity. And I very much feel that way about art. It has incredible power to change people. And obviously people have to have an open heart to begin with, somewhat of an open heart to begin with. But when you think about the power of film as well, there is a power in art, whether it's music, whether it's visual, whether it's audio, whatever, sculpture, you name it, there is tremendous power in it. Hopefully it taps into our shared humanity. And frankly, in an era where I think we've never been so divided, we need far more of it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So give us the latest on the Latino Smithsonian. We know you're a big advocate, and you know, we know that El Paso will be in there. Our experience will be in there if you have anything to do with it. Give us the latest on that.
Oh my God, absolutely. You know, we are super excited. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus in Congress has played a leading role advocating for the Latino Smithsonian. For anyone who's ever been to Washington, D.C. and been in one of the Smithsonian museums, they are powerful. You know, we were just talking about art and the power of art. There's a power in history as well and in storytelling. And the Smithsonian museums do a really effective job of storytelling. A girlfriend of mine was able to visit in D.C. and spend her birthday in Washington. And I was able to spend a little bit of time with her while she was there. And we went to the African American Museum.
Oh, that one's deep, 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 deep.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. And the stories about these history makers and about atrocities of the past and about these people who broke barriers and were able to move past the most incredible obstacles. Like it's heartbreaking and inspiring all at once, but it's beautiful. It tells a story and it helps ensure that people understand the struggles and the triumphs all at once. And so we want the same thing for the Hispanic community. We want the same kind of honor to be bestowed on our community, because when you think about the Latino presence in the United States, frankly, we do a very poor job as a country of embedding our history books with everything that we have offered our country. And unfortunately, you know, some of the things coming out of the state legislature, not to get political, but some of the things that are coming out of the state legislature to try to limit what is taught to our kids about history, we're already left out of history books I am very afraid we're going to be eradicated from them. Mm-hmm. And so more than ever, we need a museum that pays homage to who we are, our legacy, and that gives young brown kids inspiration for the future. And you're 100% right. I am determined to make sure that El Paso has a very important presence. You know, when we think about everything that El Paso has offered the American experience, when you think about the Bowie High School baseball team that suffered through so much discrimination, but also so much triumph, yes. We've got to tell that story. We've got to tell the story about all the incredible leaders that came through this incredible border community. And we have to tell the story, the very tragic, heartbreaking story of August 3rd. You know, we were the target of the deadliest attack against Latinos in modern American history. And that was fueled by racism, by xenophobia, by white nationalism. We cannot be afraid to talk about these things, because if we don't talk about them, we give them cover. When we give them cover, we give them life. And so we've got to face our demons and our angels all at once. And El Paso needs to have a prominent role in the museum.
Is there anything that we can do as citizens to move that project along? Or how can we advocate, or how can we help you get this thing going?
Oh, thank you for asking. It is in its infancy, so the opportunity is ripe. You know, we're at the beginning of it. There's going to be a couple things that have to happen. We are obviously going to have to find a place in Washington, and that's up to Congress. We've got to find that location. We want to make sure that it's as close to the mall as possible, along with all of the other wonderful assets that exist there. We've got to raise significant funds for the museum. And so, you know, we're going to be tapping into some of the most fortunate members of our country.
Can we call Eva Longoria? I feel like she should contribute.
Yeah, exactly. that's exactly right. Absolutely. And here's the other thing. I am really hoping that we can get some of the folks who are charged with the imagining of the museum. I want them to come to El Paso. And I want them to hear from people like you and other leaders in our community. I'd like for them to sit and listen to our story and walk away incredibly inspired and determined to put our community in a place there in the museum. And so when that time comes, and you know, we are going to do everything we can to make it happen, we will let the community know, and hopefully we can come out. Hopefully it's a different era. We will have gotten past COVID and we can have a beautiful community event and really tap into the history and the memory and the hopes of all of the Latino members of our community.
Well, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with me and enlightening us, sharing Brisa's story, letting us know about the Latino Smithsonian. And, you know, as things develop, my door is always open. Anything we can do to help the project get across, we'd love to. Today, my guest has been Congresswoman Veronica Escobar. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina. Love you. Mwah.